Hey guys, welcome to Let's Talk Venture, the podcast dedicated to travelers, backpackers, and explorers with thousands of stories. My name is Tony, and today I'm talking with Boaz, an Israeli guy who's doing a solo trip through Europe and finishing in France. Together, we'll talk about our solo trip experiences, the concept of being a foreigner in another country with different culture, and funny stories related to that. So here we go, Let's Talk Venture with Boaz.
Recording? How do you start with this thing?
You start.
Oh, okay.
You just spread the red button.
Now I have stage fright.
How are you, Boaz?
What am I saying?
Boaz? What? Right?
Yeah.
Boaz.
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 Yes. Okay. Almost.
What are you doing in France?
What am I doing in France? So, I had a chance to take a long vacation.
Yeah.
Because I didn't take a more than 1 week off for the past, I think, 6 years.
Yeah.
And I asked to go for a month off.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no problem. And then I started at the festival, a music festival in Budapest.
Siget. Oh, you went to
yeah.
Siget? Oh, nice.
It was, you know, I'm even rocking the shirt. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
Mm, I imagine.
Yeah.
So is it... I heard about Siget because it's a really famous festival. I think it's the biggest in Europe, right?
I think it's the longest in Europe.
Oh,
I don't know if it's
longer.
The biggest. Maybe it's the biggest.
Like
I honestly have no idea.
7 days?
7 days, yeah. 7 days of non-stop concerts and parties. It's great, but yeah, you finish.
So you stayed 7 days there?
Eight. We went the night before to put up a tent in a good location.
How's your body?
Now I'm fine. But after the festival, we took like 2 days of complete brokenness. You don't have a voice. You feel like doing nothing. You're just a broken person. But it's worth it.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's definitely worth the experience.
Yeah.
I have stayed 8 days in the festival.
Oh, amazing.
Worth it. Not for my health. But
and not for the health. Certainly not for the health.
So I forgot to ask the question. Can you introduce yourself?
Introduce myself?
Yeah.
Okay, my name is Boaz.
Mm.
I am from Israel.
Yeah.
24 years old. What else do you want me to introduce?
As you want. Sure. Shortly.
I am doing my BA right now in management. And I'm on a month-long vacation in Europe.
Okay, so what is a BA?
Bachelor of Arts. Like a
okay.
Bachelor.
Okay.
Degree. Yeah, I understood it's different in France. You don't use those terms.
Like it's a degree in 3 years, right? Or
yeah.
2 years?
It's supposed to be 3 years, but it's a special program that crammed it into 2 years. But it's a 3 year program.
Okay. The French equivalent would be a license.
Okay.
Yeah. The equivalent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, undergraduate degree, whatever.
And where did you come to France?
When?
Why?
Why? So after the festival, I wasn't really sure what I was doing. Like, the whole point of my trip was basically to be totally random and just see an opportunity and go for it. After the festival, I continued with two of my friends. So we were a big group at the festival, and I continued with two of my friends to Berlin for a few days. And after that, I decided to go to France. I mean, I went to Italy, rented a car, because it's cheaper, and then I went to France. And why? First of all, I heard great things about it, and I really wanted to hike and see mountains and stuff.
Yes, yes.
So I started in Chamonix.
Oh, yeah.
Which was amazing.
Oh, really good place.
I think one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful place I've ever seen. It's just unbelievable.
Mm.
So that was amazing, and I got some recommendations from friends, and also I met a French girl at the festival last year. We kept in contact. We also met this year, and so she also said that I should really visit, and yeah, that's why I'm here.
Okay. She was French? She's French?
Yeah, she's French.
Okay.
She lives in
Grenoble. Oh, in Grenoble?
Yeah.
Nice.
So not far away.
But because... what did I want to say about Chamonix?
Yes.
Freaking amazing, but also a little bit overexposed, if I can say it. Like
overexposed?
Yeah, because you have
touristy, like?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Because from a French perspective, I know that they are equivalent. Way cheaper.
Probably. Yes. Probably. It's the whole town is super touristy. Mm. I mean, you can see that basically everything in the town itself is touristy. But the hikes were just unbelievable. Mm. Honestly, if you have more accommodations of less famous places with the same beautiful, you know, hikes and stuff, I would love to know.
But actually, I think it's the price of having the transportation to go there. Mm. If you are a foreigner and you don't have a car, you can easily go to Chamonix because
train, bus,
and everything. But it's expensive. Rather than if you are a local French people, like in China, exactly. Like you can have a location which are really beautiful, really cheap, but
not really easy
to reach.
Yeah, I've been to Beijing, which is also really interesting.
I loved the tourism in Beijing.
Yeah,
like you have so many incredible things to do there.
Yeah, totally, and I'm sure even more if you speak Chinese, because people there don't know English at all. Like, not even like hand gestures. No one understands you. You understand nobody.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating because, like, I think being in Europe, like France, for example, is amazing and so much fun. But the culture, like, culturally, we're not that far from Europe in general.
Yes.
So I don't feel very strange. It's not like, okay, there are some stuff that are different, but, like, it's not fundamentally different. And when I went to Beijing, I'm like, oh my God. This is fundamentally different. The way people think, the way they act, the way everything operates is...
What the fuck?
Exactly. It's like another planet. You're like, okay, accidentally we're both humans.
Yeah.
But basically everything is different, except for like the really main centers, which you can see some Western influence, like stores and stuff.
More and more.
Yeah. Mm. But you had the Hutongs?
Oh, yeah.
Like the ones that are not in the center, but a bit far away, with just like walking in some, I don't know.
That's beautiful, right?
So beautiful and so different, so weird. Yeah, so I had the best time.
And there are big story of culture there, because it's a kind of historical way of living. Like you realize how the district were organized to live in community, in the goal of having a good way of living, even if you had no personal toilet or no personal shower or no personal kitchen
No personal anything, basically.
Yes. You just live there as a community to survive as a community, and you share the bathroom, you share the toilet, you share everything. And now they still share a lot when they go to poop with the open door. So you say, okay, why not?
See, like, something completely different is the way people sit down. So, like, they are on the legs, but still, like, like crouching sort of thing. You don't see it in European countries at all. And there I was just, like, on the subway. Suddenly you see a businessman, you know, full suited, just like crouching.
Doing a squat.
Yeah,
like
a squat. Exactly.
The same position where you go to poop.
Yeah,
but it's just
exactly. So he's just squatting. He's on his phone. He's waiting for the train. That was so bizarre. And you see that. You see that. You know the squats. People are squatting.
But the right way to poop, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, they don't have toilets in most places. Like.
No,
they have like now they do. But I understood that. Like I've seen some places with just a hole in the ground, which is. An interesting experience.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it, but it's an experience. Tried it. Wasn't really successful.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
More difficult than
I think the worst experience of toilet in China that I had was I was traveling and I was waiting for my bus or train to go to another location. And suddenly I got... I was backpacking at that moment. I was doing a big solo trip through... province in China, and I had this giant pack behind me, and so I was waiting for this bus, and I had suddenly the emergency of going to the toilet
for the big things.
I went to the toilet. I saw the toilet. I said, no, not possible. but my buddy said, no, you have to go there. And my mind said, no, it's not possible. So I went inside. I got in one of the one of the cabin. Mm-hmm. I saw that there was no lock, there was no hook to grab your bag, mm-hmm. and there was pee
all over the floor. Yeah.
Oh fuck! What? So I had this giant bag on with me. I said, "Okay, how am I doing that?" And I was like squatting, holding my bag with my hand, like
praying.
The same position you do. You know the guy who do muscular sport, like the,
Weightlifting.
Yes, yeah. I had the same position. I finished the thing. I said, "Okay, how do I clean myself? And how do I don't fall in this fucking hole of pee and poop everywhere?"
You see, so it's not the best, not the best experience, I have to say.
Yeah, but it would be convenient if it was clean.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't. Yeah. So it's just, because of that.
Did you do a lot of solo traveling?
Yeah. I started to do that when I was in China. And since then, I just love that, doing that.
Why?
Because it's the best way to meet people from all over the world. I don't know, like, I think I met so many international people when I was doing that in China. That's the reason why I continue to do that in France, even if I live
right next to you.
Yes, just at 1 hour from here. I just love to meet people with different point of view and ask them to tell me stories at the same time and tell me their point of view about France and the culture. And it's a good way to open yourself to the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Even if sometimes people kind of tend to have the same profile of solo traveler doing a trip in France, so I have this passion for France, but still it's really interesting to see different point of view of different culture. And I think you are the first person from Israel that I meet in France.
Oh, really?
It's nice. Yeah.
Really? Interesting. I haven't seen a lot of people from Israel.
That's the reason why. So I say, okay, I need to interview this person. So you told me you had a really good feedback of France. What was that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the people. People say, yeah, the people are not very nice, but the places are really nice. That was the main thing. Even like French people I met. I met a French girl in Berlin. She was like, I'm so sorry about the people. I'm like, I'm not even there yet. What are you sorry about? She's like, yeah, you're not gonna have fun. I don't know if that's true because I met very nice people also.
Yeah.
I think the language barrier is like the most like difficult thing.
Yeah.
More than like being not nice, it's just like hard to communicate with people. But generally, yeah. So I heard a lot about Chamonix in that area, and Provence in general. And I was actually supposed to go to Nice. Yeah. So I was in Marseille. I was supposed to go to Nice.
Yeah.
Didn't like Marseille so much.
Yeah.
Not my cup of tea.
Mm.
And so I asked another French friend, and she said that Lyon is really good.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy.
It's really nice.
I'm actually really happy. This is the kind of stuff that I like.
Yes.
I
can give you a suggestion about other cities where you can go.
I love that. The first time I'm solo traveling, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I really like the experience. It's very interesting.
Okay, what was the kickoff of doing a solo traveling?
So when I went to Beijing, I went with my grandfather, invited me, but he was there on work. So like I would spend the mornings with him, and then the afternoons and evenings I was all along just roaming the streets. And it was really cool because up until that point, I mostly traveled with friends or family, which is really, really fun. But at the same time, I'm a person that really likes spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk around, you see like a cool alley. Yeah, let's go there. You don't need to ask anyone. You don't need to think about anything. And I really loved that feeling. So I said, okay, I want more of that thing.
Yeah.
And really that thing. Which was great. I went paragliding. Paragliding, it's the one with a parachute, like people jump from the mountain.
Oh, yes.
And like glide in the air.
In Chamonix?
In Chamonix.
Oh, nice.
So I was just walking, I was about to do a hike. I was walking, walking, walking. Suddenly I see a sign that says paragliding here. And it's been a dream of mine since I was little, because I've got a big fear of heights, and I really wanted to do that, even though I have the height. So I was like, there is a sign. What are the chances that there will be a sign right here? I'm like contemplating, like, okay, let's go. Go inside. Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, we have the very last spot, the 12 o'clock. It was 10:30. I was like, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Amazing. Amazing experience. I would recommend. 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing.
But it's Chamonix is not the best place actually to do
paragliding.
Paragliding. Really hard to say.
It's like parachute and
gliding. Yes. I heard that the best location to do paragliding in France is actually in Annecy.
So I was there too.
Yeah. Oh!
We tried, but there was no space. I mean, it's August and it was everything was reserved. We checked like four or five places. I was all about to do it again. But yeah, Annecy is also nice.
Yeah, yeah. So you prefer Chamonix instead of Annecy?
Honestly, yes. Mm. I mean, the mountains.
Yeah.
Dude. Like, the lake is cool, but the mountains in Chamonix is just like... I mean, we don't really have mountains.
Yeah.
We have one mountain, which is like, I think, 2,000 meters high, which is solid, but it's only one, and it's far away up north.
Yeah.
And I've actually never been there, I think. Mm. So for me to be in a valley with just these giant mountains, and then you hike up and suddenly there's a lake and there's another lake and there's like this view and you see like mountain goats, and the whole experience is just so special.
So
special.
You went to the you tried to take the cabin to go to the Mont Blanc?
No. I thought about it, but no, I ended up doing other thing.
Okay.
The Lac Blanc.
Okay, you know, I don't know this one.
It's really good.
Okay.
Really beautiful.
Right.
And also the lift was broken down, like in construction.
Oh, okay.
So there weren't many people, because only the ones that really wanted to go there and climb the whole thing up. So it was very quiet. And
okay.
It was super beautiful. Mm.
Yeah. This
one, cool. Nice. So I like the solo traveling experience. I mean, it's also like you meet a lot of people.
Mm.
And also you spend a lot of time with yourself.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Yes. You see, that's the reason why I love to do solo traveling. Like, because you are alone and you are far from human beings, if I can say that. So you need other human beings to interact. And so you always go for new experience. And either you just try and maybe fail sometimes. I don't know if I have ever failed of trying to... Oh, yes, in restaurant. Like, sometimes I try to
create a conversation.
To create a conversation with other people, and then they were like... So it wasn't in a restaurant, it was actually in a festival. And
in a festival?
Yeah, in a festival.
Really?
I wanted to have dinner with other people, and so I went to the festival by myself, and I sit with this group of people who seemed a little bit too show off, if I can say that. Like, they were there for saying, yeah, we don't like the group there, we just came to the one DJ that arrived at midnight. They were arguing with his girlfriend. Saying, yeah, that's bullshit, why did you bring me here by force? I didn't want to be here. And I was here with my pastas eating, and I said, okay, that's a strange mood. Maybe it wasn't the right people to try to go with, but experience.
Yeah, it's another experience.
Yeah.
Actually, the festival, one of the things that I loved about this Stigit Festival is you get so many interactions, and everyone is open to it.
Yes.
Like, everyone's at the festival. They're up for talking to random strangers. So you see someone, you just strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
Discover some really cool person that you never knew about. So, like, this French girl, for example, we met last year. Out of context completely. This year, we were together with a bunch of other people, like my group, big group. Also, we had... So I came last year with two of my friends.
Yeah.
Suddenly, we met a group of four Dutch people.
Ooh.
And we camped with them, and then an Australian guy came up, and then a girl from Ireland, two girls from Iceland. We ended up being like this 20 people giant group from all over the world, which was super crazy. And we still have a WhatsApp group that sends you know, stupid shit from time to time. But it was just so cool because suddenly you know people like in Amsterdam, in Iceland, in Ireland, in Australia, in Turkey, in like, what the hell? It was really cool.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
Okay, nice. Okay, where to jump from that?
What's your favorite place that you've been to solo travel?
Yuanyang in China.
Okay.
Yuanyang is this place protected by the UNESCO program where it's a mountainside covered by rice field.
Okay.
Yes.
So like steps? Like the...
It's just steps everywhere.
Okay.
All over the mountain.
Wow.
And I don't know, a landscape of 10, 15 kilometers of just rice field everywhere. So calm, so peaceful. And because it's, you know, the rice field are using a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
So in the morning or at the really early, you see this kind of cloud, not cloud.
Cloud of water.
Cloud of water everywhere covering, like just flying over the mountain and just sometimes disappearing, and you see the rice field, and then it covers again, and then it goes away, and you just hear listening to the silence and seeing the ducks eating insects or seeing the buffaloes doing agriculture, and you just hear observing and just waiting peacefully, and then you go back to your hike. And then you stop at some moment and you just, it's so peaceful.
Cool.
It's a really peaceful place to visit.
I liked how you didn't even hesitate. Mm. You were like, boom.
Yeah.
That place, which I cannot pronounce.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to even try. But if you can write it down later, yeah. I would love that.
I have an interesting question. Do you sometimes think about going back to a place where you've already been?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's actually a really good question,
yes.
You know? Because during this entire trip, because I only have a month,
yeah.
I'm like thinking about it all the time, like constantly, because
yeah.
I spend like a day or two. I've only been 2 days in Chamonix, and for me, it's like not enough. I'm definitely going to go back.
Yeah.
But then again, I think of all the other places I want to visit, and I'm like, okay, should I go back to a place I've been to? But personally, I'm going to go back to France.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Also, I know better now because So when I planned this trip, I wanted to not plan it in a way, so I'm free to do whatever I want, which is a success because I've changed my plans like 4 or 5 times already in the best ways possible.
Mm.
But at the same time, when you don't plan anything, then you also have this looming feeling of maybe you're not experiencing the full experience of the place.
Yeah.
So like perhaps if I read more about it, I would know like some more cool places or cool things.
But it's the charm, I think, of doing this kind of experience in a random way. Like you have opportunities and you have failure indeed, but like it depends where you tend to see the glasses. If you see the glass full or more full, half full or half empty, it's just a point of view of that. And if you just focus on the of saying this thing, it wasn't touristy, it wasn't exceptional, but it was an amazing experience.
What I love.
Yes.
That's what I also love about solo traveling, is that sometimes like the most basic things could have amazing experience.
Mm.
So like in Italy, I went to a random castle I found, and I discovered that it cost like 17 euros for a tour, and I didn't feel like doing it. I had a car. I was like, okay, let's found the mountain and find a view. So I was just starting to drive up some random mountain, and suddenly it became really foggy, so I had no idea what's going on. I saw a big parking space with so I stopped the car, so I was going to turn around and go down after I found a really cool spot with a view. And then I see a sign that says something in French, but it had an arrow with 500 meters, I guess, with a picture of a lake and some words in French. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go. I left the car, took my bag, and just started walking in the fog. Walking. And then suddenly, you know when you climb a hill and you reach the top and then like suddenly the horizon opens up. So suddenly there's just giant lake in the middle of nowhere. One or two houses, beautiful houses, super quiet, super beautiful. And that experience wasn't written anywhere. I'm pretty sure it's not famous because it's not something exceptional, but the whole experience was exceptional. And also to me was just like, this is so cool that I'm here, that I did not even know I'm coming here.
Yeah.
And I was this close to just, you know, turning around and going back down. So this simple story could, if I tell it, people will say, oh, okay, so you saw a lake. But for me, it was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I found that.
Yes, totally.
So that's like you said, looking at the glass half full.
Yeah.
And like, just thinking, okay, that's an experience I would never have unless I was alone.
Yes.
Do you think of going back to places you've been to? Yeah?
No, I don't know.
No?
I don't know, really. Because the more time I spend thinking about going back to Shovel, and the more time I have, how to say that, duty in my work, so I have less and less time to go to Shovel, and I tend to focus more on my bucket list of destinations that I really want to visit. So yeah, for the moment, maybe later in a lot of years, but for example, like, I have loved Shanghai, but I know that I will not be able to go back there before, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, if the world is still alive.
Good question.
Yeah.
Good question. Yeah. I'm not sure. Look how hot it is right now. It's crazy.
So do you already have kind of big lines of the next destination where you want to go next?
I have so many.
Yeah?
I have so many. I have... Okay, so I had another weird dream that I don't know where it came from, to spend 3 months in a Shaolin temple in China, which is apparently a thing. Like Kung Fu and stuff.
I think I heard about that.
So I was in my head thinking, that could be awesome. I'm looking it up. Apparently it's a thing. There are a bunch of like temples that actually do that.
Yeah.
But it requires 3 months off that I don't yet have. I talked to my friends. Two of my friends actually did it after I had the conversation with them. One of them was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm not going to wait for you. He did it for 2 months, came back, said it was amazing. Then another friend, the other guy, also went there. So he also spent 2 months at the temple. And they both said it was as amazing as it's in my sound.
Is it the place where you are in the mountain and during the winter it's just snowy everywhere and you just...
Like, so there are
it's
bunch
a temple
of places.
On the top of a mountain, right? And you just go there to meditate and train and meditate.
So you just meditate, train and eat, basically. I mean, that's basically what you do for a few months. So that's like an experience I really want to do. You know, to get away from everything and just focus on your body and like your mental thing and also doing something physical, which for me is like perfect combination for a really unique experience. So that's like one thing.
Okay.
I also want to visit Iceland.
Yes.
Which is also on the bucket list of places that are not exactly where, like, close to what I know.
Yeah.
And then... My friends, my best friend probably, is he really wants us to go to do the Pan American between South America and North America.
Yeah.
There's like a road you can do with, there is a highway, but there's also like a traveling way you could do on motorcycles.
Okay.
Which is another thing.
Like from where again?
From South America all the way to North America.
Yeah. They exist?
They exist.
Okay, I didn't know that
exists. Apparently, that exists.
When you go and you reach Canada from that? Or?
No, I don't think it's that far. I think it's somewhere in like Central America. I'm not sure. Honestly, okay. I didn't check it because it's, again, a few months. So when I finish my degree, I'll be more free. Because the thing about, we talked about it earlier, that a lot of Israelis finish their army service and then go traveling for 4 to 10-12 months.
That's a big thing, apparently.
Yeah, it is. I've never done it, but I think it will happen eventually. I don't know if a year, but like 4 months, 6 months. Yeah.
No, that's possible. There are actually a lot of ways to travel that long and still be able to be hosted and do, like, you have the walkway, you have the roofing, you have the HelpX platform.
That, I heard about it.
Platform where you are hosted and fed, and in exchange you
volunteer. Help.
Yeah, you volunteer to work.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who do that on the hostel.
I thought about doing it this trip, but then it was just too short.
Yeah,
and I didn't want to do it for like a few days.
Yes.
But the hostel people are doing it.
If you saw Lucy, the girl, there was this girl at the
counter?
Yeah, at the counter, and she's doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. Cool.
Wait. No, okay, she's not doing that. I think she started doing that and then she exchanged. No, she's doing something else. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, but actually, on this podcast, I've interviewed a lot of people who are
doing okay.
that. So it's always a good opportunity to have a kind of point of view of someone who has stayed a long time in Lyon. Yes, I'd like to ask, okay, well, what did you think about Lyon? What did you think about the other city? So, next question, do you already know some places where you want to go to city in France, and why?
In France specifically?
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of time left. I honestly only have Lyon and then I'm back, because that's like the end of my trip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've been to Chamonix, like we talked about, and see. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing anything, I probably will. Grenoble, and then Marseille. And where else have I been? Random villages on the way, which is my favorite thing ever. Like places I don't even, I'm not even sure where I was.
Yeah.
So I just like, I look at my route. The way I do this is like, I rented a car for the whole month. So I just see my final destination, look up random places that look cool on the map, and just, you know, add stop on the way. And I found really interesting places that
Yeah.
So I think that's mainly what I did. Let me think about it. Yeah, I think that's mainly what I did.
Did you had trouble to communicate in these random places?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely. People, I mean, even when I speak English, they speak French to me without hands gestures or anything that I can do anything with. Yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
It's actually really difficult. I mean, that's actually the worst part of it. Because, like, they don't know anything. They don't understand you at all. And they still talk French to you. Which is, I don't know what they think is going to happen. But, like, yeah.
And so you knew that about France before coming here? That we had a lot of trouble to speak French?
I knew that, but also did not really pay attention to that. Because in my eyes was just... I mean, it's not a reason... It's like China. It's not a reason not to visit, right? So, yeah, I knew that not a lot of French people... But in Italy, it's the same.
Oh,
I mean, in Italy, they don't speak English also. Which is also super difficult. Mm. So... And I love Italy. I've been there a few times. So...
But there is this interesting thing about Italy that I went to the first time there like a few months ago for work, and I just discovered that Italian is really, really similar to French.
Really?
Like they speak Italian and you can understand what they are saying, and if we speak in French, they can understand what they are saying. So that's one of the reasons why maybe they don't.
Yeah, I actually took a walking tour right now with a guy that lived in Italy and lived in France, and he said the same thing. He said that the language is very, very similar.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
So how many days do you have left here?
I have two nights.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's it. Then I'm back.
Back to work.
Yeah, I don't know. Back to reality. It's not only work. It's just, I was so disconnected with everything, and it was so good.
I feel what you're feeling because I just came back from holiday 2 weeks ago, and the 2 weeks of coming back to work was a nightmare.
It was just like, where am I?
I was really a zombie in front of my computer trying to understand the emails that people send me, and then I respond, and then the person in the copy said, did you make a mistake about your email? I said, why did I make a mistake? Because it's not the way we are planning to screw this thing. And I said, Oops. Oh yes, indeed.
Oops. Where did you go?
I went to Norway.
Norway?
Yeah.
Why Norway?
Because I have really trouble with the heat temperature.
Okay.
Like if it starts to be above 28 degrees, my body starts to say, that's
nope.
Hot. Yeah.
Nope.
Nope.
So what are you doing now? Now you're probably suffering.
A little bit. Yeah. Walking here was a little bit difficult. And so that's why people say, hey, you want to stop at some place? And you say, is there trees?
Shadow
place? Say, yeah, should be. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah. Definitely. Mm. I hate heat.
It's the thing that you cannot rip more clothes that you already have. You cannot walk around naked and no one will say anything. You just hear sweating, drinking more and more water, and then...
Yep.
Yeah.
I can totally relate to that.
And people say, oh yeah, it's nice,
it's
climate climate change, it's getting hotter and hotter. Say, you guys are crazy. You just
crazy.
Stupid, educated people. I don't know. It just makes me angry.
How long were you there?
What?
How long were you there?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks of doing roofing, of helping with gardening, with making bench and making tables and repairing canoe. And,
so cool.
Yes.
They probably were really happy that you came. They're like, oh, someone can fix that thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, we were... I tried to help, but at the same time, I let there were three girls who came as well as me doing roofing, but I didn't know her, and I just wanted to let her opportunity to learn how to do things and to learn how to use the screw gun.
Yes.
Yeah, drill, screw gun. And, okay, do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Push. Yeah, bench. So yeah, it was really cool.
Furniture power.
Okay, two last question.
Yeah.
Do you have what the fuck story about your traveling?
What the fuck story?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like some moment during your trips where you were saying, okay, what the fuck is happening right now?
I have a funny one, but okay. It's not really related to my traveling.
Okay.
So in Chamonix, I met a guy at the hostel, a Belgian guy.
Okay.
Who spoke French, we had a conversation. I was like, yeah, I'm from Israel. He's like, oh, well, are you Jewish? I'm like, yeah, oh, you know the movie Rabbi Jacob? I was like, no. And then he started explaining about the movie and he couldn't stop laughing. And I was like, okay, I gotta watch that movie. And then I went and met my French friend, and I asked her about the movie. I was like, do you know the movie Rabbi Jacob? He's like, of course, every French person knows this movie. It's really ridiculous. I was like, okay, we gotta watch it. So we watched it. And at that moment, I was like, what the fuck is happening? What the fuck is this movie? But I laughed a lot. I really liked it. It was really funny. Really ridiculous.
Yeah.
Really funny. Side note, no one does the dance. Like, they have that crazy dance. No one, I don't know what they thought when they did that thing. That's not a real thing. But besides that, it's pretty accurate. I don't know.
Except for, apart from the dance, everything is accurate?
Not 100%, but accurate enough. Close enough to the truth. Close enough. But it's a really ridiculous one.
Okay.
Really fun. So it's not really about my traveling.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a what the fuck moment.
No, it's worth it. Okay. What's the thing about the hair?
Oh, the hair. Okay, so that's a little bit of a deeper explanation if you want to get into
that. Yeah.
So in Judaism, we have... It's not like you have religious and non-religious.
Mm-hmm.
The religious part is a wide, wide range of people. So the people you see, for example, in the movie, they're called ultra-Orthodox. So it's not... not even the regular religious Jewish person. And they somewhere in like a few hundred years ago, I guess, they were scared. They lived in Europe, like Poland and stuff, and they were scared that they're going to lose their community and like lose their religious. So they decided that everything new is forbidden. Everything new and religious is forbidden.
Okay.
And the thing about Judaism is it's like a religion, that really developed over the years.
Okay.
So a lot of the things, when you study religious studies, then you realize that a lot of things don't have straight answers.
Okay.
They give you the debate. So you have two sides, they're debating, you read the debate, like really old, thousands of years old debates. And then at the end of it, there might be a final decision, there might not be a final decision, and then you need to think what you think. So we have what's called a rabbi, like a rabbi.
Jacob.
Like Jacob, for example. And they are supposed to be like the most studied person in their community.
Okay.
And they need to study as much as they can,
yeah,
and then help people make religious decisions.
Okay.
So in the ultra-Orthodox community, it became even more extreme, where rabbis were basically these godly figures. And you can see it in the movies, like they touch him and he's the most important person and they ask him questions about everything and he gives blessings about everything. So they took it to an extreme level. So
okay,
it's not only religious, it's also cultural. It's
okay,
also the community aspect of it. And even in the explanation I give right now, people might say, oh, he's talking bullshit, because it's really super complicated. And even in the ultra-Orthodox community, they have sub-communities that are different from each other and they disagree on certain things. And they kept the clothing, like clothes, the black thing, and also the, what's called a peyot, that's what it's called.
The hair.
Yeah, the curly thing. What's the deal with that? Honestly, I'm not sure. I don't know. It's actually pretty gross, because the way they do it is they like take saliva and then like do the round them up. I don't know if it makes sense for someone who's listening and not seeing it, but it's not the best
thing. Doing a kind of curly movement,
yeah,
that girls do with their hair, but
yeah,
they
exactly
do that
exactly
just with their hoof,
yeah,
like it.
Yeah.
Is the name of this part, like the
yeah. Yeah, okay.
Where you grow beer here, but you cut it just before. The guy, I don't know if you met, oh, you will meet Sam at the hostel.
Okay.
He has roof like it.
Okay.
Really big roof,
okay,
roof like it.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny, but I don't think he puts saliva.
Outdated.
Yeah, I don't think he puts saliva on this.
I don't think, I don't know if everyone does it, but like that's the joke that they're,
okay,
they're,
okay,
they're doing that. And they're very close communities. And and the rest of like the religious stuff is so like kind of accurate.
Yeah.
So let's say there's a scene. Do you remember the movie at all?
Actually, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen
it? No.
Okay. So you should. It's funny.
Yeah.
If
yeah,
you like,
I mean,
I don't know. It's funny. It's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. But they have some accurate.
Yeah.
Scenes.
But I feel like it's the kind of movie where you have to watch it with other people to laugh,
yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
Rather
definitely
than in
it's
my
completely
in
ridiculous
the town where I live. I just live there for work.
Oh,
and
okay.
I have colleagues, but it's not friends.
Okay.
And when I want to see them, it's usually for going to hike or doing sports. So it's a kind of weird way to say,
yeah,
you want to come to you want to come to my place and watch Rabbi Jacob.
So anyway,
yeah. Oh, I have a neighbor that I could ask if she wants you.
You
to
should.
Watch the movie.
You
yeah
should. You should. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. It's a bit racist, but I laughed.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
French culture of racist jokes.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. You want to add something to?
I probably have more what the fuck moments, but I can't think of anything.
Yeah,
you had a second question, or that's it.
Yeah. Do you want to add something to end the interview?
I think so. I think it's so cool that you do what you do.
Yeah,
I don't know what are your plans. I have a question for you.
Okay.
What are your plans with this podcast?
Meet a lot of people and teach people about open-mindedness, about
okay
culture, about the importance. Okay, it's not sustainable, but it's so important to open yourself to the world, to travel and to meet people and to get out of your comfort zone, to understand why people act the way they do instead of judging. Because in France, you know, there is this big culture of judging for just judging.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they see something, they will instantly judge without purpose, without construction thought,
mm-hmm,
just to criticize and to say, yeah, but this weird Chinese, they are responsible for climate change because they don't respect the environment, they are uneducated, they are stupid, they split everywhere. Part of that is true, but if you live there and you understand their way of living, you understand that there is a logic where they start to have this way of living, and you say, okay, I have no right and no position to
judge.
To judge, and you just observe, maybe questions the people who are open-minded enough to say, isn't it a little bit weird to act like that? And they say, okay, right. And then they ask you the same question and you say, okay, right, it's weird that we act like that here in France.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, because of understanding more the world, that you can maybe save it a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
if I can say that.
Yeah.
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 And you understand through your act, maybe through my, for example, if I go back to the ecological aspect of it, like from seeing our consumption here, consumption
yeah.
here in France, you understand that everything they do in China, they do that to export things in here in France.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, okay, it's actually maybe not their fault, but more my fault as a consumer,
mm-hmm.
that they
you
have
want ship
factories.
Stuff,
yeah,
then that's the result.
Yeah, you want Nutella.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, it's your. You don't blame the Amazonia or the that they burn things because you want Nutella stuff. It's just be aware of your responsibility. That's the thing. I went really political on the last section, but thank you, Bert. That was a
thank
pleasure.
Thank you so much. If I want to, can I add another thing?
Yeah, sure.
Too long already.
No.
I super agree with what you said.
Yeah.
And I think, especially as a Jewish guy from Israel, I mean, we didn't even talk about Israel at all, but I feel like open-mindedness is super important. And like you said, listening first. And I think listening first is the best lesson I think anyone should know. Before you say anything, first listen. If you listened and you asked questions, then you're entitled to your opinion. Decide whatever you want, and like, really, you're free to think whatever you want to think. But especially, like, I find that when you go into like religious or political or general, if you just say you're from Israel, you sometimes get reactions that are so based on just random things that has nothing to do with you specifically, or you know, thoughts that are not necessarily even true. So like, listen first. After you listen, you hear more than one angle of a story, and then decide whatever you want to decide. But like, ask a question. I think it's really great what you do. Like, it's
thank you,
it's
man.
Super cool.
All right, Buzz. Thank you, man.
A big thanks to Bo, who has accepted to talk with me during this episode. Thank you for listening to it. You can find other episodes of Let's Talk Venture on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, PodCloud, and the Internet Archive. You can follow my adventure on Instagram, and all the links will be in the descriptions. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a thumbs up and 5 stars, and I'll see you next Monday.
Separate loads, separate calls, no fine line, don't have to be a dead rat, cause dead rat can go wrong. Oh, we could be friends. We could be friends. Put your head on my shoulders. I'm Francis. Still dreaming of a glory, something new.
heard you bought some land in Mexico. And I said, way to go.